Yes, yes, y'all.
Hi.
Good Hello. Evening,
you are listening to CKUT 90.3 FM. The time is 6:01 on a Monday, November 27th. I am Mariam, and I'm joined here today by
Charlie
and Emil.
And we are doing a series here at CKUT with our work, which is Youthful Cities. And we are going to be talking about the research that we do and basically the question on everyone's mind, what's up with work lately? So this is our third episode. Stay tuned. And playing us in is Sam Davidson, because Vancouver is our theme today. So Sam Davidson is a Vancouver-based musician. Stay tuned for more information.
Great track from the album Skim Mill, and welcome to our third show of What's Up With Work Lately. You know, time flies when like we're having fun. Like, hard to believe that we're already on our sixth week of running this show, and today we got a special treat for all of you. We're interviewing our city manager from Vancouver, Patrice. She has a lot of experience in working with the communities and the nonprofit sector. And also, we'll be talking about our current campaign that we're doing for Giving Tuesday. It's exciting stuff because, like, every survey someone completes during this time frame, $5 will be going to a list of organizations. So, you know, good work. And, like, when some organizations are, like, Rising From Our Roots, as well as Doctors Without Borders, the Green Center, and, you know, just overall doing great work.
Yes, yeah. Beloved partners. can you talk a little bit about Rising From Our Roots, Charlie?
Oh, yeah, sure. Rising From Our Roots, I met them, I think, just a year ago or so, through markets, because they organize great community events and community markets for artists and youth. And they do a lot of other things that I am not good at, you know, giving a resume about because of that. But they're amazing. It's very focused on reparations and anti-oppression. And honestly, I think it's one of the organizations in Montreal that I think makes Montreal, Montreal. They're also very invested in Toronto and I think a bit of Ottawa as well. I know a bit the person who runs it, and they're absolutely amazing. The sweetest human being I've ever met. So, you know, I'm rooting for them. Give them $5. Let's go.
That's awesome. Yeah, and they're youth led, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. So that's one of the organizations that we've partnered with for our research and for the Giving Tuesday campaign, Doctors Without Borders, Médecins Sans Frontières, the Green Career Center, and also We Matter. We Matter is an indigenous youth-led and national organization that aims to support indigenous youth. So through various programs and projects, they connect indigenous youth with their culture, promote mental health and life skills, and provide resources to help them succeed. And like CKUT, We Matter amplifies voices and stories and celebrates experience as well as peer-to-peer skill sharing and support. The reason I'm talking so much about our Vancouver organization as well is just because that's kind of today's theme. So as everyone who has followed the Youthful Cities Dev Labs project knows, we are across four cities, and we have sister cities with those cities. Emil, would you like to speak a little bit more about the Dev Labs project, just a quick recap?
Oh, yeah, so the Dev Lab project, we have a few different stages. So right now we're in the research phase. We're trying to get a lot of insights from our youth through our surveys. And the surveys about like how they feel in terms of their preparedness for work, as well as how their city performs in many different areas like climate activism and indigenous reparations, as well as good youth jobs. So that's one stage. The next stage we're working on will be taking the answers that we got from the survey, and then we're inviting youth to our summit. And with our summit, we'll be discussing potential solutions among the youth, as well as some experts in the field and political activists. And then after that, we're going to do our best to try to make things happen.
Yeah.
Yeah, right. We want to support. So we do these solution summits. Part of our, like, you know, our organization's mission is to make cities better for young people. Mm-hmm. That's kind of the whole crux of it. Mm-hmm. And one of the ways you make cities better places for young people is by asking the young people, but then also by supporting them. There's a certain over-solicitation, I think, of young people in cities in terms as far as school clubs go or youth councils. But the amount of actionable items that we observe can be a question of funding, to be honest, mm-hmm. and a question of support, peer support, coaching. So that's kind of what we want the long term of these. Anything else to add, you two?
I mean, I just want to say that we just got our Vancouver tickets, the Montreal team. So I'm excited because I've never been to Vancouver.
Right. So our first summit in the new year is going to be, we're going west from west to east. So Montrealers, stay tuned for the March Youth Summit. We'll be doing two. We'll be doing an English and a French one. But we're doing a national Vancouver summit this January. And there is a possibility, if you are listening from Laval, Quebec City, online, or Montreal, there's definitely an opportunity to be a delegate and get a fully funded opportunity to go to Vancouver. So you can go to youthfulcities.com for that. Awesome. Yeah, good point.
So you get to meet us.
It's all inclusive. Yeah. Food's paid, hotel, and just okay. Really good time. Food.
Okay, Emil. All right. So, if that's all right, if it's all right with everyone, shall we take a quick music break? And then we'll be back with our beloved Patrice for an interview in 10 minutes.
Whee!
Sick. Let's go. Okay.
That Lord.
would also like to mention that all the artists we're playing today are in fact from Vancouver or based around the Vancouver area. So that is Losil, L-O-S-C-I-L, that we're listening to now, an ambient musician.
So this was Colors of Airs by Losil, and now we will play Genesis from Grimes.
else is in the room?
Oh, Charlie and Emil. Oh,
yes. How you doing, Patrice?
Awesome. Okay, so Patrice, would you mind introducing yourself to our listeners?
Sure. My name's Patrice. I go by she, her pronouns, and I am the Vancouver City Manager for Youthful Cities.
Very cool, very cool. And how's Vancouver doing today?
It is very cold and foggy, which is really strange, but I think all over Canada's cold. It's just weird because it's foggy. Yeah. How is Montreal today?
It's snowy.
I mean, it's definitely colder than Vancouver.
It's bikeable, so that's open to interpretation.
It's snowing but bikeable. Okay, I love that.
Okay, so Patrice, would you mind if we asked you a couple questions about maybe, well, first of all, I guess, what is your relationship with Vancouver and maybe why you decided to be a youthful city's representative on such a big level, and how you're driven to make Vancouver better for young people, and then we'll ask you some questions about the city.
Okay. For sure. So my relationship with Vancouver has definitely evolved over the years. I am a first generation immigrant. So when I came here, and I think I was 18, and it was a cold, rainy January day. Not as cold, I bet, as out there in the east, but coming from Philippines, I came from the Philippines, which is super tropical. I came here in Vancouver as a young person. I still am a young person, and I was like, what is this place? What did I sign up for? It looks so miserable and dark out here. But over time, I think as I've explored more of the city and I got to know more of the people, I've really come to love it, and it has its little quirks. It's been really wonderful. My role in Youthful Cities as a manager, I'm very new to this, to be honest, so I'm still learning as I go. And what I appreciate about Youthful Cities, or at least my role with Youthful Cities, is not only was I able to use the partners or the contacts and the friends I've had in my previous roles or previous jobs to help out with Youthful Cities, but I also got the chance to, or is, I'm still having the chance to meet new people, new potential organizations and partners that are youth serving that honestly I haven't even heard of, and they're all really wonderful. So yeah, it's an exciting role, it's an exciting job, and I feel very grateful and lucky.
Thank you, Patrice. Now, first question I want to ask you. How has Vancouver's diverse population influenced the youth culture in the city?
Yes. Maybe I'll speak a little bit more with the diversity part of it. I will say, just to be super frank, I do know Vancouver is more diverse in terms of the South Asian or East Asian communities. So it's definitely, it's almost as if when you say, oh, a lot of, there's Asian diversity. It's like, oh, in Vancouver, usually first thing you think of, it's like, oh, you've got your population from Philippines, from Japan, from Korea, and different parts of Korea, different parts of China, different parts of like Taiwan, Hong Kong, and then, you know, Southeast Asian or South Asians, which is like big population of Punjabi, big population or growing population of Hindu and other parts of India. So to be honest, I think when it comes to a whole world type of population, I don't know if I'm making sense here, but in terms of like our Black population, our I guess immigrants or newcomers or families coming from Polynesian islands or even Latin America, it's still quite small compared to, I want to say, like bigger cities like Toronto. But going back on your question, Emil, this is just to kind of give other people who haven't been to Vancouver an idea of what diversity is like right now. Going back, I think there is a big culture of curiosity and openness with young people because of how diverse it is. We're growing up, and I say, you know, quote-unquote growing up, as I want, like, being in high school to college or university or even joining in the workforce at a young age, you get to work and you get to know people from different parts of the world. And usually young people are the ones who are most curious, right? So I think it's fueled a lot of different ideas for young people to explore new types of food. So a lot of businesses come up, or business ideas in the restaurant industry have come up. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of different varieties of media in terms of music or even movies that I think young people are getting exposed to because of the diversity. And it's just, it's lovely. It's still growing. So there's still more work out there, but I will say there's definitely that culture of curiosity and openness.
Nice. Thank you for that very well developed mm-hmm. answer. Our second question for you today is, what are your priorities for a city like Vancouver to be as youthful as possible?
As youthful as possible. If it means to attract more young people here, I definitely think that affordability is a big thing. Yeah, Vancouver is one of the most expensive cities, not just in Canada, but in the world. And there's reason for that. I always say, you know, when summer hits, it's so beautiful here. It makes sense that why a lot of people want to invest, like, real estate here, want to retire here, want to live here, want to, you know, raise a family here, even work and everything here. So I think for Vancouver to be youthful and to attract more youth, it would have to definitely address issues in affordability. And I would say not just with real estate, but also with just regular basic needs. You know, grocery shopping is such a flex now. It's like, oh, how much is it in grocery? It shouldn't be that way. It's like a basic necessity to eat. And the entrepreneurial spirit, because it's still a baby. Like, to be honest, I think there, if anyone comes and visits here in Vancouver, you'll see. And even when I first came here, I was like, oh, like, this can be improved. You know, I wonder if anyone's thought of this business or this particular product, or, you know, these people might be interested in this. So I think that entrepreneurial spirit is really going to help boost, like, all those kind of domino effect pieces, like affordability and, like, creating jobs or just creating more connections for young people. So, yeah, I'd say those are my top two priorities that would be really good for us.
Yeah, Patrice, you touched on some really interesting pieces, I guess, that we've been finding in just the research that we've been doing and the mapping of Canada, of urban mm-hmm. Canada, about how, like, well, first of all, yeah, it's true that more people are moving to Vancouver rather than leaving it, even though you get the impression that the pandemic sent a lot of people from expensive cities mm-hmm. outward. There's still a draw to, you know, the biggest city in the Canadian West Coast. And you mentioned that it makes sense in the summer. So I guess just kind of a simpler question, what role does outdoor recreation play in the lives of Vancouver's youth? Because we do so much urban content, but mm-hmm. Vancouver is one of those places that does have accessible nature, and it's not just one city, it's a couple cities too. So
yes. Oh my gosh. Yeah. That is that great question. First of all, because outdoor life, I think, takes up like 80 to 90%. It's like when you live here in Vancouver and you say that you don't like hiking, people kind of do a double take. And it's like, what? How could you not? Why do you live here? So, yes. And you know what? It's true. I've met a few of my friends, and maybe some people I matched up on Hinge that moved here in Vancouver because of the nature. I'd say because young people live so close to nature, not just in Vancouver. It's great that you pointed that out, actually, Mariam, because I live in the suburbs, and we still have really great lakes, really great hikes around here. And you'll see that in all of, like, Lower Mainland. We call kind of Lower Mainland BC, which is surrounding cities besides Vancouver, because young people are so exposed to it. I think there's that it's very green economy or very sustainably mm-hmm. sustainability mindset is ingrained from a young age. Like, I'm surprised even people in, you know, schools and elementary schools and high schools, it's very rare that you see kids litter. It's very rare. You know, you would see people who are very, at the most simplest level, segregate their trash or have a compost bin. That's such a big thing. It's like everybody kind of has a compost bin. And even in workplaces I've had, when there's no compost bin, there would be one or two coworkers who would start a compost bin and will do it like just out on their own. So I think young people being so exposed to nature, they see the value of preserving it. And there's a lot of ownership in it, wherein I want to live here, I want to go to these places and enjoy these places when I can, and maybe have future generations or other friends who are visiting enjoy it, so I'll protect it. So you do see a lot of that mentality that we got to take care of what we have here.
That's awesome. That's so sick.
I was just going to bounce on it and say, I wish we had, it sounds like there's a lot of nature in Vancouver, and I just was thinking how I wish we had more nature in Montreal.
Accessible nature. Well, we have the mountain.
I mean, yeah, we have like one mountain.
We have a hill.
I guess it depends which part. Cause
I bet, I actually haven't been to Montreal, so I wouldn't know, but I'm sure it's an equally beautiful city. I was going to say, I don't think it's a Vancouver thing. How is thrifting like in Montreal?
Well, it's the way to live. Young people don't take as good care of their clothes, obviously. So there's a lot of cheap stuff. There's it's a game of numbers for sure. But yeah, it's a big cultural part. I mean, I think we're talking even like this new trend of more and more young people being zero waste, being outdoorsy just because they have to be outdoorsy because that's what they can afford to be, is very thrifty in itself. And is very, it happens to be ecologically great as well.
And I think one thing also that might be pushing people to be more outdoors is after the lockdown and the COVID pandemic, when people were spending a lot of time inside, either on the screens, they're fed up, but they just want to touch grass again and smell fresh air.
Get out and run in the grass like a dog.
I think that is a great, I think that's Emil who pointed that out. That's actually a really big thing that I noticed as well. I think young people recognize not just the physical importance of, you know, being outdoors and having an outdoor lifestyle. It really is, a lot of it is the mental health aspect. Even for myself, I do like the outdoors, but let's say before the pandemic, I would go on a hike, but I would hesitate to go on camping. Mm. But when you go on camping, it's usually the time when you're not on your phone, you're not on the screen, you really are like outside of like the internet grid. And I think more and more young people opt to either sign up on these like internet free retreats or go out camping, just because they know that it's a time to reset and, you know, kind of have a cleanse. I asked about thrifting because it's always been a big thing here in Vancouver, but I think Toronto has a big thrifting culture as well, because, like, I think it was Charlie who said, save a bit of money, you don't really take care so much of your clothes. But we realize that the older brands also just last longer. It's sad but true, so... There's definitely that.
I saw a documentary not too long ago saying that new clothes just are less good quality than older, you know, like with fast fashion now and stuff, things are just less good quality.
Things are getting more mass produced, mm-hmm. and trying to cut costs and mm-hmm. keep profits the same amount, unfortunately. Quality goes down when they cut the costs.
Mm-hmm. That's our economist, our actual data analyst,
a little businessman.
I agree. Yeah, and I mean, in terms of, let's say, awareness of it, I think because it's so kind of ingrained within school culture, and even when you first move here, you know, in restaurants or just in malls and such, there's not a lot. I'm pleasantly surprised. There's not a lot of like green or nature protests of sorts. You know, in some cities, especially bigger cities, you see a lot of like either PETA or like different kind of environment agencies doing protests. It's the opposite here. It's like there's no protest of any sort. It's more of like they're part of the conversation. They're part of like public policy. So a lot of cities and even companies will have either a partnership with like Oceanwise here in BC, usually because we're close to water, or they would have a specific sustainability coordinator kind of part of the company. So yeah, I think that's one positive thing that I really like. I mean, we still could do better, but it's there.
Progress over perfection.
And we can always do better. Always.
Yeah.
And just a thing, because earlier you mentioned about like people like right now trying to disconnect from the internet, especially and they want to be out in nature and reset. So my next question is, what ways has technology and social media shaped the social dynamics of Vancouver's youth culture?
Social media is really
interesting. Please state your thesis.
I know. It's hard-hitting questions here. You know what? Actually, it's so funny because a couple of months ago, when I started my role, we were thinking of partnering with local influencers here in Vancouver. We quickly realized, by me, I mean it's myself and like my two other coworkers. Their names are Rachel and Yasser. If they're listening, I just want to have a quick shout out. Hey, Yasser,
quick check-in. Are you guys working?
We realized that a lot of our influencers here are lifestyle influencers. So they're very, very much in that luxurious kind of lifestyle and kind of going back to what I said, that a lot of our population is still heavily leaning towards Southeast Asian and like East Asian minorities. And mm-hmm. so a lot of there is that culture of, there's a part, I shouldn't generalize it. There's a part of that culture that's very luxury oriented where it's like, oh, you know, like I have, I don't know if you've probably heard of this, like, oh, you know, Vancouver has all these Tesla drivers. To be honest, I really did think, I might be wrong, I personally don't think the whole increase of Tesla cars here was because people were trying to be sustainable. I think it was a flex. It was a money flex for sure. And then people started to realize, like, oh, there's actually, you know, like electric cars are good. And then there's the whole rebate, you know, the tax rebates and everything. So going back to the social media, unfortunately, I do think that a chunk of youth are kind of getting sucked in into this like influencer lifestyle where, you know, to be known here, at least in Vancouver itself, you got to be eating in these types of restaurants. Mm. You know, you got to be going over with these types of activities, and they all cost money, unfortunately. And there's also the flip side of it. There are a lot of influencers as well who are very much leaning onto like affordable things you can do in an expensive city like Vancouver. You know, wonderful hikes that you could go to. So I think if I go back and forth towards kind of the positive and negative, for youth in the negative side, and I'm speaking with this, just kind of sharing bits and pieces of my friend who worked for federal government, I'm not sure specifically the name of the department, but they're basically the ones who handle bankruptcy statements. So she works in like the BC office or British Columbia office, but it's still under federal government. She was telling me how it's kind of sad to see that a lot of young people in BC have been claiming bankruptcy because at a young age they've started to chase that kind of lifestyle. They, you know, purchased this expensive car that they couldn't afford, even though they have good jobs. Obviously, all the eating out, all the expensive clothing and all of that is catching up to them. So there's that. A lot of people in Vancouver are getting into debt because of it. I shouldn't say it's solely because of the lifestyle. Obviously, it's not solely because of that as well. It's just one part of it. But other than that, in terms of like social media, it's been really good in terms of raising awareness of like wonderful things that young people can be part of in the city, like what places to do and also, yeah, what activities to do and places to go.
Okay. Yeah. Patrice, you touched on like really interesting kind of cultural options. And I just wanted to know, like, last question for you. Because we are so concerned, our whole damn like mission is to make things better and easier and more accessible for young people. So what are challenges and opportunities for creative expression or social entrepreneurship or just anything kind of very general but good for youth within Vancouver's culture?
Before I go with, I do have an answer, but before that, I just want to make sure. What do you mean by creative expression?
I think I mean either whether it's youth who are affected by social impact movements or youth who are artists, activist youth, anything that takes kind of a freedom of expression. So, what, like, for example, in Montreal, we have, I don't know, we have Ruelle Verte, for example, that are sometimes, you know, council-run, city council-run beautifications of neighborhood streets. And that is very often, like, kind of like cleaning up cities is a youth initiative. But more on the artistic side, I guess.
I see. Yes, honestly, okay. So, like any city, there's good things and not so good things. I didn't start with the good. I'll sandwich it. Good and then not so good and then back to good. So I think the good thing is Vancouver is quite an artsy place. By that I mean there's a lot of support for local makers, whether it's painting, sculpture, music, arts in terms of place. There is a lot of that, and there's a lot of spaces in that. I think maybe not so much in like Montreal and Quebec, to be honest, but I have to dig a little deeper as to why that is. I think one of the reasons, at least for Vancouver, for having that hub of like artists is because we're also considered like the Northern Hollywood or Hollywood of the North. I don't know if you've heard that term before.
No, but now I have. Okay. It's actually the Tokyo of Burnaby.
it's so no, they it's call true, it like the Hollywood of the North, just because we're West Coast, or you know, straight down to California, and that's where Hollywood is. So a lot of Hollywood series or movies would shoot here in Vancouver or in BC. Just obviously it's closer, and sometimes it's even cheaper for a lot of them. So there's I can give like a few examples of like mainstream movies like Deadpool or like the Twilight series or like I don't know if you guys have Smallville, and that's like an old but gold show. I think the new Supergirl was here and Arrow was here. Anyway, I could go on and on. So I think because of that it created a lot of jobs and a lot of opportunities for young people to be in the arts industry, and not just with the common things that we know, like acting or singing or performing arts, but also with a lot of multimedia arts and digital arts. There's a lot of that here in Vancouver. I will say, though, that on the not-so-good part, the breaking into kind of mainstream population is a little harder. So what I mean by that is, let's say you're an artist and you have, you know, wonderful work, you probably sell online. It will still take a while before young people around Vancouver to get to know you. You have to really, really put yourself out there. But there is a lot of support within artists or within other creatives. It's just breaking out there is a little harder. But I should say it's probably the same in other cities where...
Well, yeah. It's something in Montreal that we talk about a lot is like, okay, at least artists still live here, right? At least if artists who can tend to be low income or not have regular income or who need, you know, for rent to be relatively low in order to do a residency and things like that, that is still possible across the board in Montreal, less so now. And I think Vancouver has a reputation of being expensive, but it's still a magnet, like you said, for film, for the film industry, for the music industry, for the West Coast. I mean, yeah, when I was living in Japan, that's all they knew is Vancouver, like, and I've never even been. Yeah, so it was very, yeah, it's interesting.
It's still quite expensive, you're right. But I think my hope is that with all of this opportunity and space for artists, is that local people come out, and not just with the big shows. Like, I would hear whenever, like, a traveling Broadway show or, like, a big, you know, opera or, like, a big performer comes, there's always an influx of people who will watch. And it's always a hit. But I do feel bad, because I think that we have a lot of local artists and a lot of local, you know, budding talents that kind of get unrecognized a bit just because they get covered by all these, like, bigger names. So hopefully, you know, I think we all owe it to the artists within us to just support local art as well.
Well, thank you so much for chatting to us about Vancouver, Patrice. This was great. We'll try to play one of those Vancouver artists now. Anything to add?
I really love what you do, and keep it up, and thank you for having me.
Awesome. Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you.
We'll see you soon.
See you soon. And playing us out, playing us out of the interview is a track by the Snotty Nose Rez Kids, an indigenous West Coast.
We them bougie natives. Big hat with the brand. We them bougie natives. Got that custom made bling. We them bougie natives. New city, new sweet grass, new sage. We them bougie natives. My knowledge in my brain. We them bougie natives. New city, new sweet grass, new sage. We them bougie natives. You can holler at my name. Look, Snow Goonie from the boonies. Not the type you see in movies. Felt the spirit living through me since I was a puny dookie. Nietzsche, looky, looky. How I get low when I boogie. Don't mind me, some goody goodies. I'm Nate and Bougie. My wifey be the wolf, and I'm the wolf that's from the sea. And she no Pocahontas, more like Buffy St. Marie. Come do your dance with me. I dip, you dip, we dip. No, it ain't blasphemy. I sip, you sip, we sip with Nisika. I stand and rock with all my suit without the roosters. Me and bro came out the womb. Nietzsche 1 and Nietzsche 2. We very indigenous people. We some VIPs. I'm a blood thicker than Ulrich and Grease. Nietzsche, please sing your song. This my jam. Got my fam all going ham for the land, not the gram. Statement A is who I am. We choose copper over gold. Praise the elders. I remember what I'm told. Never turn your back on home. We them bougie natives. I got turquoise on my wrist. We them bougie natives. Five rings up on my fist. We them bougie natives. Big hat with the brim. We them bougie natives. Got that custom made bling. We them bougie natives. New city, new sweet grass, new sage. We them bougie natives. Put my knowledge in my brain. We them bougie natives. New city, new sweet grass, new sage. We them bougie natives. You can holler at my name.
Hey, a ho.
Hey, a ho.
Can't you tell them woke? The smoke shop is closed. Can you tell your boys dope? Man, I'm spinning like I made it, and I'm smudging cause I'm broke again. Always running late, I hope the liquor store is open.
I got carvers, weavers, beaters, and designers on my team. I got braiders, hella famous, that I'm signing to my team. In my limousine, don't I look steezy? Next to my digi queen.
Yeah, that's my Moose McGee.
I know ballers, I know chiefs, I know riders from the east. I know educated natives down to picket in the streets. Middle fingers to police, fuck you, we come in peace. I know red skin hippies that be giving me the creeps. I know beauty, I know beach, I know savages and freaks. And I know a couple cousins even bougier than me. No, ain't elite, bougie native, yes indeed. Art exhibit to the club, and we roll it 20 deep. Copper on my neck, gold on my ring. Feather on my hat, skin stitch chin. 100 warriors on my back, daily drumming when I sing. Man, there ain't no way around it. I'm a
bougie native.
I got turquoise on my wrist.
We them bougie natives.
Five rings up on my fist.
We them bougie natives.
Big hat with the brim.
We them bougie natives.
Got that custom made bling.
We them bougie natives.
New city, new sweet grass, new sage.
We them bougie natives.
all rich in my brain.
We them bougie natives.
New city, new sweet grass, new stage.
We them bougie natives.
You can holler at my name.
Stop Caribbean cuisine. It's the place to be. The best tasting food, West Indian food. Check it out.
334
St. Jacques Street.
The one and only.
Chef X.
And the best.
Everyone calling up his name, talking about him.
All type of food ready right there.
Fish, vegetable,
oxtail,
curry goat,
jerk chicken.
That same tasting Caribbean food in a Montreal.
And then me go
when me left Jamaica.
Go there right now.
The food delicious.
Delicious.
West Indian Caribbean cuisine. I will be there. Check it out. Check it out.
Yes, so, you know, if y'all are interested in the Caribbean food, go ahead and try it. But just now we heard a great track from the Snotty Nose Red Kids from the Kitimat Village in British Columbia. They were dropping some fire on there.
Yeah, that was good.
All right, next, I'm going to talk to you a bit about Vancouver and what we found in our urban work index. So one thing Patrice mentioned is there's lots of young people coming into the province as... It was had the highest number in the past 5 years at close to 14,000 youth, which compared to Montreal in that time frame, we actually lost almost 7,800 youth.
Yeah.
So, you know, Montreal do better. But there are some valid reasons for that, maybe because like changes in the language law under the different...
the youth had some valid reasons, yeah.
Yes, yeah, under different policies, sees in the new government. So maybe if... We sort that out, might have more youth coming in. And then also there are a few reasons why Vancouver has been able to get more youth. Because one thing, even though Patrice says there's room for improvement, the entrepreneurial spirit of Vancouver is like third best in the country.
Oh, wow. I gotta move there.
Because like they noticed that there's been a lot of startups, municipal and nonprofit micro grants, and then a number of new businesses coming in that are like Vancouver ranked second in these measures. So, you know,
yeah,
good on Vancouver.
We're jealous out here.
Yeah, we're far.
I did see Montreal did rank pretty well in this because I think they're like top five in this metric. So, Montreal's not doing too bad, but you know, still gotta get that number one spot.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
And then also, as Patrice mentioned earlier, Vancouver is a trailblazer when it comes to climate action.
No way.
Yeah, because like there's strong composting bylaws, including like curbside pickup and multi-unit programs, and then also like some well-rounded recycling programs. And then also, so as Patrice mentioned, there's like the trend to get all these Teslas.
Oh.
But, like, Vancouver policy is supporting that by having a lot of electric vehicle charging stations.
Yeah, they're really high up on there.
Mm. Mm.
So, you know, it is a good side effect of everyone wanting to show off their Teslas.
I mean, yeah. And you can find a map of the electric charging stations on the grid on our website on youthfulcities.com. So,
oh, it is a whole map.
Yeah, we have. We've been trying to. I mean, it might be a bit dated. There could only be more by now, but that is a resource.
Wow. Yeah, there's a lot that Youthful Cities could tell you about. There's nothing we can't
go
do.
On our website, youthfulcities.com, and fill out our survey.
Yeah, and donate to the causes that we mentioned before.
Absolutely.
That's right, yeah. So again, for Giving Tuesday, we're donating to We Matter. In the West Coast, We Matter. And then in the East Coast, the Green Career Center. Internationally, Médecins Sans Frontières. And locally here in Montreal, Rising from Our Roots.
Yes.
Charlie, what else do we have going on?
Talking about survey filling, we do have, if you have nothing to do, this Thursday, November 30th, at 6 p.m., we have a focus group that is organized in collaboration with PAC, the Pan-Asian Collective in Montreal, at our office, actually, at our Youthful Cities office, which is a beautiful office, downtown / Old Fort. C'est où?
What's it called?
Oh, it's La Piscine, right above Urbania.
Unfortunately, there's no pool there, though.
There's no pool. We've been very disappointed. There's a room named the Jacuzzi, and I was very disappointed the first time I went there because there is no jacuzzi. But this Thursday, we will have snacks and hot drinks and some really cool people, including Emil, Miriam, and I, just hanging out, helping people fill out the survey, and then having very interesting conversations about the subjects on the survey and what comes up. And again, this has been in collaboration with PAC, which is great. I love what they do. They showcased my movie once, so I'm very happy.
Very cool.
Pan-Asian Collective, you can get our RSVP form on their Instagram bio. Yeah, everybody's welcome, 16 to 29 years old.
Yes, if you're under 30, a Montrealer, and for that, and for the record, a Torontonian, a Vancouverite, and a Calgary person, please fill out our survey. Or if you're from any of our sister cities, so, you know, we have Regina, Moncton,
Yellowknife. Yellowknife, Whitehorse.
Please fill those right out. Anywhere in Canada, really. We could use your research to present to policymakers and long-term improve the quality of city life for young people to live, work, and play in. Anything else to add, Emil, before we sign off?
Nothing really. Thanks for tuning in, and hopefully you join us for our last show of the year, December 11th.
That's right.
And then we'll go on a little break for the holidays, and we'll be back at it again in 2024. So sure, we'll have interesting stuff to cover next show, and thanks for tuning in with us.
Thank you.
Thank you, everyone.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Stay tuned next for the 7 p.m. show.